by any private interpretation, but rather was written by holy men of God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so it's an honor for us to stand in honor of God's Word. And as His Word is read, God truly is speaking. We have praised Him, we have worshiped Him, and now we hear His voice as He speaks to our heart. I'm going to read for you from Psalm 66. If you have your Bibles and can, I'd encourage you to turn there to the 66th Psalm. The Psalms is the middle book in your Bible. If you just let your Bible fall open to the middle, it'll fall open to the book of Psalms. The 66th Psalm, we'll begin reading with verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands, and we've been doing that. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say unto God, how awesome art Thou in Thy works. Through the greatness of Thy power shall Thine enemies submit themselves unto Thee. All the earth shall worship Thee and shall sing unto Thee. They shall sing to Thy name. In verse 5, listen. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in His doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. They did did we rejoice in Him. He ruleth by His power forever. His eyes belong to the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. O bless our God, you people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life. In other words, He has preserved our lives and suffereth not our feet to be moved. Verse 10, for Thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laid affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire, through the water, but Thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. One translation says into a bountiful place, but a wealthy place, if you will. In verse 13, I will go into Thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay Thee my vows, which my lips have uttered, and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto Thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. In verse 16, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. Let's bow our heads now and join our hearts again to pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow before You in Jesus' name now. We ask You to add Your blessing to the reading of this portion of the Word of God. And we pray that we shall use these scriptures, Lord, to be a springboard, if you will, to be ever before us and in our minds as we share the great things that You've done in our lives. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness to us. We love You so, and we want to be faithful to You. And we want You, Lord, to speak to each one of our hearts now through Your Word by Your Spirit. And I pray You render powerless every demon of hell, every force of evil that might rise against us. And give us clarity of mind and a pure heart and hands that are clean to handle the Word of God. And cause, Lord, our testimony to be one that can be duplicated even in this place among this dear people. Lord, we thank You for this opportunity, for this time to share the Word, and we ask now that You'll forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Give us godly wisdom now and Holy Ghost power to do what needs to be done in this hour for Jesus' sake, for we ask it in His name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I, Brother Nick mentioned a moment ago, I think it was 1982, and so that would have been 35 years ago, that Brother Nick came to our home. We lived in Bethany, Oklahoma. We were members of First Southern Baptist Church in Dell City. And on a Sunday morning, Brother Bailey Smith challenged us to give toward the relocating of the church and building a new church, and to confirm that truth, or endeavor, I guess you'd say. I'm trying to get started here. You'll give me a little time to do that. I'm trying to get off the porch and get into your life. But he challenged us to. He said, if God is really in this thing, he said, I think he would move on some individual to give $1 million toward the building of this new project and this new auditorium, new facility, if you will, at Southern Baptist, First Southern Baptist Church in Dell City. Well, Patricia and I, we started a company in 1978, and it grew and did well. And there was a company came by in 1982 and wanted to buy our little company. And we had 51% interest in the company, and they offered us $10 million for the company. We owed $5 million, and they paid off our debt and gave us $5 million for our company. And so we ended up with about $2.5 million. And of course, after Uncle Sam got his share and other expenses came from that, we had a little over $2 million that we could call our own. And so Brother Bailey Smith mentioned the fact that somebody might be able to give it as much as $1 million toward this building project. And so on the way home from church that Sunday morning, I said to Patricia, I said, did God say anything to you at all this morning when Brother Bailey mentioned about that money? And she said, yes, he did. And I said, well, what did he impress you to do? And she said, well, he impressed me that we would be the people that would probably want to do that. And I said, well, let's just do it then. Well, you see, we were so poor, we didn't know what $1 million really was. We didn't know how much $1 million was. And if you don't know the worth of $1 million, well, it's no problem to give it, right? And so that's what we did. We gave $1 million, and then that's the story that Sam Cathy encouraged us to share with Brother Nick Garland the night he came to our home for dinner after the revival service. And so we worked for that company. W.R. Grace was the company that bought our little oil field service company. And we worked for them. We signed a 5-year employment contract with them and a non-compete clause and all those good things when you sell a company. And I wanted to do evangelistic work. I've always been, I was saved when I was 23 years old. I was called to preach when I was 27. And but I've always been, for the most part, bivocational. I've always worked and preached in small churches, rural churches, and preach revivals in small country churches. And so I wanted to do that again, and so in 1978, I began preaching revivals, and with a family, the size of church that I preached in, I was not able to make a living, actually, to take care of my family and do evangelistic work. It just wasn't, that popular, and I wasn't a Sam Cathy, I wasn't a Bailey Smith, and so the churches I preached in were small. And so to make a long story shorter, my middle boy, we have 5 children, and my middle boy and I, we decided that we would start another business in 1990. And we did that. And about 22 years later, there was a group of people in Scotland from the Weir Group talked to us about acquiring our company, and we came to an agreement, And we sold this company after 22 years for $240 million. And so after selling our company for $240 million, the thing that that we had always done, even from the beginning, I remember when I was first saved, like I said, I was 23 years old, and a poor boy always, I was a East Texas cotton picker, and my daddy was a sharecropper, and all my brothers older than me had all gone off to World War II and left my daddy and me and mom to plant and raise a crop and try to scratch out a living there in East Texas. And I didn't hear again, I didn't know the value of $1 million, but I was saved then. I'm trying to think how to organize my thoughts here, but when I got saved at 23, I actually started tithing before I was ever baptized. And the reason I did that, I didn't tithe because Abraham tithed to Melchizedek 400 years before the law. I didn't know he did that. And I didn't tithe because Jacob, you remember when he was on his venture and he had this vision and he heard this voice and he made this vow. He said, I'm going to start tithing. You remember that? That was 270 years before the law. And I didn't know that either. I didn't tithe because Abraham did or because Jacob did. And then the law in Leviticus, the Levitical law says that the tithe belongs to the Lord. I didn't know that. I hadn't read Leviticus, so I didn't know that the tithe belonged to the Lord. The reason I tithe is because of my sister. My oldest sister, I'm the youngest of 8 children, and my oldest sister was the only Christian in our family. And I heard my daddy say one morning at breakfast that Celia and Archie, her husband, they were cotton farmers in East Texas, and the both of them could pick a bale of cotton every 2 days. And they gave every 10th bale of cotton that they harvested, they gave to the church. The reason I knew that, my daddy was being critical of their giving all of that money to the church. I think a bale of cotton then was probably worth about $200, as I remember. And so my sister tithed a bale of cotton, every 10th bale of cotton that they harvested from the field. And I heard that, and I picked up on that. I don't know why I did. I don't know why I remember that. And I don't know why I even knew what a tithe was, a tenth. But somehow I did. And so when we were saved on Sunday morning at Mayridge Baptist Church in Oklahoma City, I was making $500 a month. And we would get paid on the 1st and the 15th. And the first check we received after we were saved that Sunday morning, we gave $25 of that check. And from that day to this, we've always given the tithe. We've always paid our tithe and have been able to give some offering as well. Well, when we sold our company for $240 million, they held about $30 million of it in escrow, and we got the rest. And I asked the company, the Weir Group, if they would write the check to Quail Springs Baptist Church for the tithe. And they did that. They tithed. And it came out in the Baptist Messenger, maybe you remember this, the historic tithe, they called it. The Oklahoma Baptist Church humbled because a top recorded cooperative program giver threw $21.6 million of tithe. And so it made the headlines, as you can well see. And my pastor, Hans Doback, he sent to Patricia and me a little note, a little letter, and he said, "Praise the Lord! Your faithfulness positioned Quail Springs Baptist Church to impact our city and our world with the gospel for the next 50 years." He said, "It establishes a pattern of stewardship and generosity, and puts us ahead of the curve with our facility demands. This is how the Lord is leading me to use the contribution of $21,600,000. We're going to pay our tithe to the cooperative program, and our church, Quail Springs, gives 13.5% of their income to the cooperative program. So the Central Baptist Association is going to receive $168,000. I'm just giving you these numbers because I want you to see how that the monies that we give, it helps all of us, including the First Baptist Church in Broken Arrow. We're all benefiting from what God has done in my life. That's the point I'm trying to make. I know you know that, but I want you to know that I know that, I can understand. And so let me continue just to bore you with some numbers here, and you won't remember them, but it's part of my message, so you'll deal with me, okay? The cooperative program gift is going to be $2,916,000, and half of that is going to stay here in Oklahoma, in the state of Oklahoma, which would be $1,500,000. And it tells here what it's going to be used for. It will stay in Oklahoma and be used to fund pastor school, a prison ministry in Mexico, to reduce Falls Creek debt, to fund scholarships at OBU for preachers, to help OBHC and the Adams Fund at the retirement centers. And it will be in 2012 average, so John will have a hand in how to spend that, and that's sort of a personal note there. Dr. Jordan will give us a precise breakdown. Half will go to the Southern Baptist Convention. The IMB will get $730 million. The NAM Corporation, the North American Mission Board, is going to get $330 million. The seminaries are going to get $320 million. ERC will get $24,000. The Executive Commission will get $49,000. He said we'll pay off our present debt, approximately $6,250,000. And we'll purchase the land that we need for $1,750,000. And we're going to help our six missionaries that have come from our church, and they're on the mission field. He wanted to do as much as $250,000 to help them, to allow the church to participate in praying, thinking, and using the balance of the approximately $10 million that'll be left. We shepherd so as to preserve unity and produce maturity. I will have a great deal of influence. And so 3 million in scholarships, 7 million begin, and so on and so forth. And so this is what our offering does for us. Maybe you wouldn't be able to do that, or maybe you could do more than that. I don't know who you are or what you're able to do. The point is that the monies that we're able to give. And then I might just add, and I'm just sharing what God has done in our lives, but we've been able to give to Southwestern Seminary. We've been able to give to Southern. We've been able to give to Midwestern Seminary. We've been able to help Franklin Graham on some very special, meaningful projects. And we've done some things at OBU. With monies that we had left, not talking about the tithe here, if you will, but over $50 million we've been able to put in Southern Baptist causes. And then our children met just a few weeks ago, we have a family business meeting every year with our siblings. We have five children, and some of you know our children. You know Teresa Powell and David here. And John Matheny, our son, used to attend here before he moved back to Oklahoma City. I recommended all my kids to Broken Arrow. I love Brother Nick. He's always been a friend since 1982. And so I love him, and I praise God for him. And so I don't know how I got off on that. Where was I? We had this business meeting, yes, with our children. And so they... decided, the children did, we have this Mathena Family Trust with this monies that are there. So they have decided they're going to, and the goal is, and we're there already, we're going to put aside $100 million in a foundation, and we're going to give proceeds out of the earnings of that foundation to Southern Baptist causes, to churches and any kind of an organization that is soul conscious. I mean, people who love to see people saved and lives changed and to help people. And so that money is going there. Now, I just see here this in this scripture that I read in the 66th Psalm, and all the time we were doing our praise and service this morning, I kept hearing the words coming out of the 66th Psalm. And if you look back over the songs that we sung and then read the scriptures that we read, you're going to see how that God has orchestrated the songs we sung to correspond with the scriptures that we read. And I just dropped down to verse 13 of the 66th Psalm and repeat again what we've said already. But I will go into the house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. And so 20 plus years ago, I was at the intersection of Highway 81 and I-40 on the west side of Oklahoma City. When we started this company, we had, I believe, $90,000 left of the $250,000, $2,500,000, ever how much we had sold the other company for. And so I was sort of in trouble. I was sort of dire straits, if you will. I needed to do something so I could preach revivals. I think I'm back on track here now. The reason I wanted to start the company is so I could make a living and preach revivals. My son was going to run the business when I was away, and I'd have the freedom then to go and preach when I had opportunity to, and then I would be able to make a living for my family. And that was my goal. That was what I hoped to be able to accomplish by starting this business. And so at that intersection that I just mentioned, I asked the Lord, I said, "Dear God," and I had a little old spiral notebook in my shirt pocket, and I made notes there, and so I wrote a prayer in that little spiral notebook, and I said to the Lord God, I said, "Father, this is an impossible situation that we're entering into. We started this business in a down market. I think there were 48 rigs running in Oklahoma at the time, and this business was going to depend upon the rig count in the state of Oklahoma. And the more rigs, the more opportunities we would have to utilize this equipment that I was designing and gathering up and putting into a rental fleet." And so in that little book, I said to the Lord in prayer, I said, "Dear God, I'll work as hard as I know how to work. I'm not expecting you to do it. I just want you to honor the effort that I exert. I want you to bless me, and when you do that, I'm going to be faithful to work hard, and I'm going to be faithful to put the money for the causes of Christ." And I never will forget. You know, it's funny how I would remember where I was at the time I wrote that prayer. And you've been there. You've made requests of God, and knew at the time that you prayed that the prayer was going to be answered. And that's the kind of thing that I experienced. And so, having prayed and asked God for that, and putting myself, the burnt offering here in verse 13, "I will go into the house of the Lord with a burnt offering." You remember that the burnt offering was an offering that required the total sacrifice with the exception of the hide. And the hide was given to the priest, but whatever the animal was that you had offered, it was totally consumed on an altar. It wasn't to be eaten by the priest. It wasn't to be partially eaten by the giver of the tithe or the sacrifice. It was to be totally consumed upon the altar. And it reminds us of Romans 12, 1 and 2, where Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is just your reasonable service. And so this burnt offering was a total sacrifice. And my commitment to God was a total sacrifice. I committed my life to Him. I wanted to preach revivals. I wanted Him to bless my effort and my energy that I would spend in this effort. And to do that, I mean, I had committed my life. So listen to this verse again. I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I'm going to do what I can to further the cause of Christ and to give a total commitment of my life. I will pay thee my vows. I'll give to you what I've promised, which my lips have uttered and my mouth hath spoken when I was in trouble, when I was in dire straits. When I needed your help, Lord, I vowed to you when I needed what only you could give me. Then in verse 15, I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings and the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Come and hear, all you that fear God, all you that revere God. Now come and hear, all of you that revere God. This part is for you, because I know you are those that revere God. You fear God, and to fear God means that you respect God. To fear Him, you revere Him, and so this is the word that we have for you in 16 again. Come and hear, all of you that revere God, and I will declare, I will tell you what the Lord hath done for my soul. And I wanted a verse of Scripture would give me permission to do what I'm trying to do here this morning. And so in verse 17, he says, I cried unto him with my mouth. That's what I did. And he was extolled with my tongue. In other words, praise was under my tongue, is what it means. And this is what we've been doing here this morning. Verse 18, it says, If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. In other words, if I pay attention to or show respect, one translation says it like this, if I cherish iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have heard me. That's what the psalmist is saying. If I would have cherished iniquity in my heart, it doesn't mean that there wasn't some iniquity in my heart. The old heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But you don't cherish that. You abhor that wickedness that creeps into your heart. It's not something that you cherish. It's something you abhor. And so he says here, if I would have regarded iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have heard me that morning out on the intersection of 81 and I-40. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy unto me. Now, Brother Nick heard that God had blessed me. And he also heard that I was being a blessing. I wrote here what a blessing is. Let me read it for you. Do you know what a blessing is? A blessing is an act of God by which He causes someone or something to supernaturally produce more than would be naturally possible. That's what a blessing is. It's an act of God where God causes something or someone to supernaturally produce more than what would naturally be possible. That's a blessing. And what I've learned about a blessing is that you're blessed to bless. That's Abraham taught us that in Genesis chapter 12. So a blessing from God is not, it's not a luxury. A blessing from God is an opportunity. And this church is endeavoring to reach out, and there's a bold endeavor, a bold vision that you have here in this place. And I just wanted to encourage you today that if God should impress you about what you might be used of Him to accomplish, that would be such an encouragement to the cause of Christ. It would encourage your own heart. It would encourage your church. It would encourage the state, if you will, and the nation. And so I wanted to help you to remember again that you cannot give God. And I remember the first time we were able to give the money there at First Southern in Dell City. And I wondered how we would ever, you know, that other $1 million that we had, it didn't last long. Wealth has wings, it flies away. And I wondered how God could ever bless that and use that. And then He comes up and I'm able to be successful in starting and building this other business. And all the while, I've been preaching the gospel. I've been sharing in small churches, rural churches, and supplying. And in my church now, I teach a Sunday school class. We have anywhere from 40 to 60 in our class every Sunday. And so I'm not knowing exactly how to close the message this morning or what to challenge you with. I don't put a lot of stock in making application of a message. I'm thinking, well, surely God the Holy Spirit would be able to impress you with what you needed to do and what you were able to do, what you could do. But whatever it is that you can do, you should do. And you should do that in order that God can bless you, that God can use you, and that you can have this this unusual feeling of having accomplished something for God. This is such a blessing for me and for my family that we've been able to do these things, and we want, after we're gone, we want to be able for these things to continue to happen, and my children are going to see that comes about. So with that said, I think that's enough said. And let's bow our heads and let me pray for you and pray with you. And then I believe Brother Todd's going to come and he'll share the invitation as it needs to be shared. Father in heaven, I pray now in the blessed name of Jesus that you would speak to every individual heart in this room. And Lord, cause each one of us to know that we're very special to you. You're no respecter of person. You're not going to treat one better than you treat another. Lord, you're going to love us all the same, unconditional love for each one of us in this room. I thank you for this precious church, for this good pastor, for this staff, and all that you're doing here, and for all that you'll accomplish through this people. And I pray, God, that there'll be a spirit of generosity created here, even in this service today, that will spread throughout the land, through the nations, that they might be won to Christ. Bless, Lord, now this time of invitation, and give us victory in Christ, for we ask it in His blessed name. Amen and amen. Brother Todd.
We appreciate the fact that you're obedient to God, and all around the world, your impact has been felt. So we thank you for your obedience and your family's obedience. I'm reminded of a story. A mom and dad are sitting with their child. Their child did some simple chores, and they gave a dollar allowance, basically, for doing the chores. They put all the money out, all 10 dimes, in front of the child. They said, now what do we need to do with this? They took the very first dime and they said, now this goes to the church. We're going to invest this with what God wants to do around the world. So he put it in this one little coffee can. Then they took the next two dimes and they said, now these we want you to save. One day you'll be able to buy a toy or do whatever you want with it. Okay. Put those two dimes away in another coffee can. And then they said, now look at what's left. There's seven dimes, just in case you're not math wizards. And the child looked down at the table, looked up, and here's what the child said. You mean I get to keep all of this? There is great wisdom. God's generosity with us overwhelms us, compels us to obey. He said it, and you've heard it too. You can never, ever outgive the Lord. Try. You'll never succeed. The very fact that he did not spare his one and only son for you and for me, as a father myself, I can't begin to fathom it. I wouldn't allow my children to get hurt for a stranger. I wouldn't allow my children to get hurt for people I love. And yet the Bible says, while we were still enemies of his, Christ died for us. I say this every time we have a new members class. This church has because it gives. That's why. If we ever stopped giving, we deserve to dry up. And here's why. When we are generous with everything, not just money, everything that we have, we're more like God. Because that's his character. That's who he is. He didn't withhold his son. He doesn't withhold anything from us. He wants us to have... He's a good father. He gives us good gifts. He doesn't deny us anything that we need. He doesn't. And so here's our response today. There's a lot of different opportunities here, but the bottom line is this. Whatever God tells you to do, I need you to do that. I need you to say yes to that. For some of you, you know what? Where you have to begin is, do I know him? You heard me say, he didn't spare his one and only son for you. Don't hold back your life now. You were made for a purpose, and that's with him, and to entrust it back to him. Today, for some of you, that may be what you need to do today. For some of you, you need to start in obedience with baptism. God says, when you know me, I want you to tell people. And the best way that we start telling people is through the waters of baptism. Some of you have held back because of fear, because of whatever reason or whatever excuse you have. Don't hold back today. For some of you, you need to join this church. Because you've been visiting, you've been a guest, but it's time to connect and plug into this place. I invite you to do those things today. For some of you, in an area of your life, you said, God, I'm withholding this. I can't give it. What that is, that's a lack of trust. Start trusting God. It can be scary, and it oftentimes is. But if you will take that first step, even though it is fear-laden, I promise you this, he will meet you there. He's done it every time in my life. And I know that if I pass a microphone around, you could attest the same thing. Whether it was a medical test that was coming back whether it was job loss, whether it was some significant decision in your family, you know that the right decision was we trusted God. And lo and behold, God came through time and time again. Maybe it's time to renew that. Whatever your decision, whatever the need, I want you to take care of it today. If you would stand, our pastors are down front. We're going to be singing. I invite you to sing along. And let's respond to God. The only way that you can respond, by the way, to the omnipotent, one true living God is yes. So let's sing and respond according to what God is telling you to do, all right?